and welcome to our corner where we talk about the Streets of Avalon role-playing game. I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett.
And today we're going to talk about mysteries and investigations on the streets of Avalon. It's good to be back, Brett. It's been a little while.
It has, man. It has. You know, one of the things when I think about mysteries and investigations, what I think is kind of funny, I remember back in my gaming BS days, Sean and I would sometimes kibitz about the fact, don't all role-playing games have investigations? Don't all games are about like, hey, who took the blacksmith's son or who did this? And my argument was always, yeah, there could be aspects of it, but it's different when it's the feature of the thing. From the story you're telling, the game you're running, it's the purpose that you showed up at the table.
I agree.
I'm not just here to kill monsters. I'm here to figure something out. More Cthulhu style, right? When you play Call of Cthulhu, if you haven't, killing the monsters, not normally high on your list. It's like, how do I stop the monster? Mm-hmm. I don't have to kill it, right?
How do I not get killed by the monster while I'm doing that too?
Exactly. When I think about it too, I also think about the full gambit of what's possible. There's murder mysteries. Who stole what? Who absconded with whom? Who's double crossing whom? All of that stuff, missing gear, people, stuff, magic. It's all there.
It is all there. And there's strangely like a ton of kind of like subgenres of mystery that exist mm-hmm. in like fiction, which fiction is one of those touch points that we tend to use for role-playing games. And I went and like looked up some ones that I think were the closest touch points for Avalon, what I've been kind of designing around. And we'll talk about those in a bit. But my first question to you, Brett, is what kind of mysteries and investigations would you say are typical of a Streets of Avalon game?
A lot of them, from when I've run games at conventions or even with my friends, it starts off with a murder investigation. Very classic. A
lot of murder.
A lot of murder because it's a horrible city with horrible bad things happening. People missing people.
Yep.
People have gone missing. I need to find something. What's happening? And quite frankly, missing gear. Something's been stolen.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Something's been stolen.
And I'm doing some of that
one, I've been using that one a lot more because one, the dead people after a while, like, it's another dead guy. It's another dead lady. Ooh, you know, when stuff is missing though, one of the cool things that happens is there's rewards, there's double crossing, there's fences. It gets trickier because I'm no longer looking for evidence of, you know, I'm now in where could you put a person? Where would they hide? Where would they stay? Where would they go? Now it's a matter of where is the MacGuffin? Where's the gear? Where's the piece of stuff?
Maltese Falcon.
Exactly. And that's right where I'm going. It's the other cool thing is that after a while, you're like, I don't care about the Falcon. I care about the host of dead people or who's killing to get the thing, right? But the missing item just kind of bleeds into all the other. I can add murder on to missing items.
You certainly can. It happens a lot.
Totally does.
So here are some of those narrative types that I kind of looked up, and I can speak a little bit to them with the games that I've been running. I would love to hear some of your examples from the games that you've run in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the classic or traditional whodunit, you know, that focuses on like the clues and puzzles featuring like amateur sleuths solving murders in like a closed setting. And our closed setting for Avalon would be, you know, our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods are generally these smaller spaces inside of the larger city. And you get a lot of those like Agatha Christie style murders, right? I mean, we've seen, you've watched like Glass Onion, any of the Knives Out, Glass Onion, Knives Out, the first one, the most recent Knives Out movie, the priest murder one. That was pretty good, actually. I enjoyed that. Stuff like that, Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm. Some of the old Sherlock Holmes stuff too, Jeremy Brett.
Yep, absolutely. That's
the best stuff out there. Well, the other pieces, that comes with this too is when you think about the neighborhood, this also gives me an opportunity when I've run this type of one to narrow it down to a specific location in the neighborhood, i.e. the murder occurred in the guild house. The guild is terrified that the guild masters will find out. They're bringing outsiders in to try to help solve the thing. Or it's in the sewers or it's in a very specific location. And it helps
murder,
to kind of
murder in the temple.
Exactly. Just zeroes right in on this one thing. And then I get to expand on the NPCs in the temple, the religion, or how the guild is functioning, whatever. So there's a cool microscope type of a look where I get to zero in on it, you know?
Yeah. Cause then you can you could touch on the culture, the ideas surrounding mm-hmm. that particular location and the people that exist in that space, right? If it's at the bar, then you can focus in on the patrons of your neighborhood bar. If it's at the temple, you can focus in on that religion and the priests and how they function in the city.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
It gives you that interesting like little cultural bit. There's the hard-boiled slash private detective style stories, and I feel like this is like rife for Avalonian gameplay.
Absolutely. It's brutal, it's gritty, it's very Dashiell Hammett, like we already said, Maltese Falcon. It's Mike Hammer. I want to walk up, I ask questions, and I punch you if you don't answer. You can. Yep. The cool thing is you can have, what I have loved with a hard-boiled private detective piece is sometimes you'll get a group of players, and in my experiences anyway, one or two people in the group are like, I want to be a hard-boiled badass private detective. I want to punch people in the face and look for, you know, look for clues and so on. And somebody else is like, I really want to like look at all the clues and pull it together. So when the group splits, the classic kind of traditional piece and then the little hard-boiled pack going off doing their thing, you know, it reminds me of the good cop, bad cop thing, where the good cop's asking all the nice questions and the hard-boiled son of a gun, she's out there just knocking people down, getting answers. You know, I love that.
Yeah, and I think it's great for Avalon because you can really focus on that moral ambiguity, which is a big theme of what's going on in this city, right? I mean, a city about classism and also a city about people just trying to get by. So they're just people. Like, we don't, maybe you're the heroes, but how heroic can you really be when you're trying to figure out how to, you know, feed yourself next month?
Yeah, pragmatism is big, right? And the other piece that goes into hard-boiled, that type of noir feeling is, everybody's got a story. So when you go up to ask somebody, if you've ever seen, Law and Order. So one of the things that would happen with Law and Order, any of them, is they would go from one cutscene to another cutscene, which is great. It's fun. You go, hey, we're going to go talk to Jimmy the Snitch. Go talk to Jimmy the Snitch. He's like, hey, I don't know nothing. You know, talk to Pauly. And then he sends you to go talk to Pauly. And they would literally have scenes where they would go hammer on some guys for like less than 5 minutes. But in that 5 minutes, these guys work on the docks, slinging fish, whatever it is that they're doing. These men and women would be like, look, we're busy here. I don't know nothing. Didn't see nothing. They're like, okay, fine, whatever. I got it. And they'd walk away. But in that brief instant, everybody in that small little cutscene had a personality. Everybody there has a job, a place, and a reason why they did or didn't see something.
And that that is a thing, right?
Absolutely a thing. It is very much a hard-boiled private eye type of thing. You're going to run down dead-end leads, and you're going to encounter people that can be sound bites, blip here and there. They don't have to have full-blown stat blocks, but a lot of personalities.
Yeah, and we got some tools in the game to help you figure out how to do that stuff and some ideas for how to like improvise those things off the bat. Some of that will be lists. Some of that will be just little ideas. Like, all you need is two traits and then a motivation.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all you require. And then if you want to throw a voice on there or affect some sort of different kind of like conversational tone, you could do that too. Or, you know, I could just be like this. It's not that hard to change your voice just a bit to provide a character. But if you're not into doing that, then you don't have to, as long as you can just provide those kind of different traits and a motivation or two. The cozy mystery. I like the idea of the cozy mystery. Maybe doesn't work super great in Avalon, but because we play in these neighborhoods, because as Brett said, sometimes these things happen in smaller spaces, that's where you get that pseudo cozy thing, right? More parlor-esque mystery style is what I'm talking about. So like, I wouldn't go as far as Murder, She Wrote, because that's like, we're not talking about non-graphic violence. We want explicit violence in this game. That is a thing that happens. Or at least happens off screen and you see the aftermath, and that's just as terrifying. But that idea can exist where like it's a smaller space mystery, which Brett already mentioned. And then because this setting has magic in it and monsters, the paranormal supernatural mystery is easily inserted into this game.
Absolutely. The other thing that's fun is that the classic whodunit, your hard-boiled, your cozies, all of that supernatural paranormal stuff, it's spice. You could add it to all of those.
Yep.
If you start, you can start with that small cozy idea. So this is how I've done that one in the past. And I've had a supernatural component to it. It's a small group of people. I stole this from a Hellboy short thing, I believe, if I remember where I stole it from. But it's a bunch of people doing seances. Elderly people, seances, back and forth. Something weird happened. Oh my gosh, what happened to Helen? Oh, poor George. It was a non-graphic violent thing. It was just spirits being very aggressive and people not knowing how to deal with it.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I've ever read that Hellboy story.
I remember something in there, just a couple of different pieces, probably like picked out of a ton of different Hellboy stories or other things. I don't know.
Anyhow, I love Hellboy, by the way.
Great. Absolutely. Awesome stuff.
McNoll is so good.
Oh, absolutely. But that piece where you can keep it, like, it doesn't have to be graphically horribly violent. Oh, granted, we love a good graphic horrible violence, don't get me wrong. But
hey folks, Chris here. I just wanted to jump in and say we are part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network. And with that, there's some great shows on the Polygamerist Podcast Network that you might want to listen to, like Pandas Talking Games. These are queer gamers talking about tabletop role-playing games and making outtakes. Join Pandas, Phil, and Senda every other Wednesday answering listener questions about playing, running, and designing TTRPGs. It's like car talk, but for your games. Now let's get back to the show.
It doesn't have to be graphically horribly violent. Oh, granted, we love a good graphic horrible violence, don't get me wrong. But you can have those types of small kind of cozy type of feel, like, hey, it's a very small group of people. I'm trying to figure out why these six people have this problem. And then, you know, and it's ghosts. It could be spirits,
it's restless, ghosts.
Dead. It could be old man Jenkins, whatever you need to have, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about some of the examples from our games that, so people get an idea of what we're talking about and how, we'll talk about sort of how they work next episode, but more about, what kind of investigations have you put forward? What are some of your favorites?
So one of my favorites was I think I may have mentioned this already, Panangalan. It is from a Philippine, the vampire, that floating head with all the bot with all the organs hanging out of it. The crew is working on the guys are going through their adventures. They're finding odd things are happening. And it turned from a, okay, who killed so-and-so? Who done it? Who, what happened here? And then they get pulled into the bargemen and their faith. And what the bargemen are worried about, because this is a an ancient evil that the bargemen, when they came here, accidentally, inadvertently brought along with them. So they're like, oh, crap, it's here again. Son of a gun. So there's young bargemen like, I don't know. It's no big deal. The old people say it's a thing. And there's elderly bargemen going, we don't want to talk about this. So it was very much a like crack the code of what the heck is going on. And then, of course, they found out that there's twins. They're twin Penangalans, if I'm saying the word right. And one was not quite so evil, had fallen in love with this guy. It was a twist on my
I like that.
My dead blacksmith story. And there was another one who was like, nope. It's all about the murder and doing whatever. And as they just started to dig through, like finding these vats filled with vinegar that has to soak its organs in vinegar to slip back into its body based on the myth. It was very much a whodunit, supernatural. And then also bits of that, the cultural investigation too, is like, how are these bargemen operating? Why don't they want to talk about this? How do you kill this thing? How do you stop it? This is weird. You know, can we use silver to silver work iron stakes through one of its weird ganglion things hanging off of its neck? What do you do? So it became just kind of a shock to the team, because they had read the monster back in the old First Ed Fiend Folio days, when they never encountered one before.
So good.
But that was the first time I pulled that monster out, but I really focused hard on whodunit supernatural.
Nice.
Like, how do you get in there? What do you, that was a lot of fun.
So mine that I wanted to point to was in the campaign that I am running right now, which these scenarios, I'm going to put them out when we put this game out, which I hope it's sometime this year. If nothing else, it'll definitely be next year. There was an art gallery, and there was a hidden vault in the art gallery, and it was owned by one of the noble families that was not quite, that was angling at being the 13th magistrate family. They're called the Foxmeres. A crew of thieves ran a long con on them, had been there for like, worked as the art gallery curators, just like private art gallery. It's in the clock tower. It's like on the third floor of the clock tower. Had been running a long con in this place for like 9 months. They've been working at this place for 9 months until they got trusted enough that they got access to the, where they did the art restoration and saw the more priceless pieces that were also like low-end magic items. But in there were two, what I call shadow wards. And the shadow wards help reinforce the spells of the lamplighters that are the lamps.
Oh.
So those thieves had no idea that they were stealing those things. They just thought they were stealing magic items. So the scenarios, yeah, right? So the scenario starts with the characters getting hired to like deal with this, because they're private investigators and this is in their neighborhood. They go there, they start getting involved with this. They eventually find out that these thieves, the masks aren't too fond of them, but they haven't been around in a while because they disappeared to run this long con, but they were running game before that for like a year. Also, the cult of one of the early game cults that are like looking for these shadow wards found out about this too. And they're like, oh, we're going to go buy this thing at this black market auction that they're setting up. Plus like two other groups are involved too. So we have like this giant four-way kind of looking for these thieves and to get these things before they can sell them off or everybody can buy what they want. And the Foxmeres are paying good money on it too. So the player characters eventually catch up with one of these thieves. One of the player characters has a kid. He's like 12. Who's like a street rat who is like a good friend of the, like he's like raising him.
Okay. Right?
Like
okay.
Very good father thing. He actually had him run out and like do some reconnaissance work with the other street rat kids in the neighborhood. And they found one of these guys and that guy hit that kid. Boy, did they not treat that guy very well. Dragged him down into their basement. They own like a firehouse.
Oh, God,
so they have they call it the ire hose. So they have him in the basement, but they beat him pretty good, but they don't like kill him or anything like that. Pella Foxmere, the noble that had her gallery raided, who's in charge of that gallery, she shows up and pours acid in the guy's eye to get him to tell the story, and they couldn't handle that. So they're like making psyche checks to see if they
can
guard by it or whatnot. And that's she don't care. She's a noble. Like she's like, I want my stuff back. Cause
exactly.
I mean, it would hurt their standing as a family in a huge way. So there's like all this stuff going on, all that shades of gray stuff that you were talking about, right?
Yep.
Eventually the thieves show up to try to get their friend back, can't do it, and just take the stuff and bail. And the reason that happens, cause there's a timer on all these scenarios that I run. It's part of the worksheet. You'll see it.
Mm.
But the timer ran out on them before they found the person. They had like before they found the crew's like hiding place. They had one last roll as a group, like to streetwise their way to get to the place before they bailed, and they just failed and they lost.
That's awesome.
Those wards are in the wind still like three scenarios later, they're looking for them. Like they're doing downtime stuff to try to find them, but they haven't found them yet.
So in our original Streets of Avalon stuff, I had Iron Shoes and Blacksmith's Folly. And
yep.
Those are both basically finding missing kids,
yep.
Iron Shoes, monster hunting. And then the other one is Blacksmith's Folly is like, okay, who did what? Why are these people dead? Oh my God. And that one's very depressing because it ends badly. There's not a whole lot you can do. One of the fun things I have found with the mystery is that a good mystery takes a good mystery/investigation gets everybody in the party working together towards a goal, which is why I love kicking off a campaign with this type of thing. Everybody's involved. They're being brought in. I have had stuff stolen from a Temple of Hermes, and by God, the Temple of Hermes will be fuck hell no. We're not going to let anybody just know we did this. We bring in a couple of troubleshooters off the record, bought by this guy. We're going to help you figure this out. If you look at our original All-Star podcast that we did, when we pulled that stuff out, what's in the box? What's the thing? It's a MacGuffin, and it's designed specifically to help everybody tell their personal story. Now, I didn't have the mechanisms that we have now in this new game system, which I think make that story even better. But having the tools we have now, when you start off with an investigation and mystery, everybody's like, ooh, this is what all the town's talking about. This thing was stolen. This is a big deal. Somebody's dead in a neighborhood where everybody knows everybody. Todd's dead. Mary's dead. Their kids are dead. The fuck? Everybody kind of comes out. So you got to help solve this problem. You get to know each other. Everybody gets to figure out what's going on. And your characters get these wonderful opportunities to be themselves. You get to feel that character grow into a little bit through that investigation. And as that grows out, depending how long that mystery lasts, you get to tell all these wonderful little stories with your character.
Yes.
Which is the hard-boiled part where Vassar finds his ex-boyfriend. Kev's character, oh my God, I gotta take care of these kids across the street because so and so got shot in the head. Ah, shit, I gotta deal with this. Ah, crap, my kid is actually Cutter. Son of a bitch. You know, all of that stuff happens in a hard boiled setting. You get to tell all those wonderful stories. And I think that's one of the reasons why I use them a lot to start off an Avalon campaign, because it's an immediate hook. Like someone's dead. Everybody wants to solve the murder mystery. That's just classic. Or something stolen, whatever the case is. It's just such a beautiful opportunity to get in there and really feel what Avalon is about in the neighborhoods. I think so. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I don't have anything else to talk about on this one. Do you?
No, man, I think we're good. I can't emphasize enough how much fun they are to start with. And you don't have to stay in Mysteryland the whole time, which is a beautiful place to get the already started, short campaign, obviously solve that mystery. Does it bleed into the next mystery or whatever? But they're, and they also bleed into all the other fun stuff. Paranormal, supernatural, next thing you know, you're hunting monsters, man.
That's true.
It's fun. It's always fun.
Thank you for listening to Under the Lamplight, the Streets of Avalon role-playing game podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you'd like to get the playtest book or keep up with the ongoing development of the game, check out thestreetsofavalon.com, our home for all your Streets of Avalon content. And we'll see you under the lamplight next week.